great, and there have been a lot of things going on around the world. Across our country, the economy has been reflected in our Global Advance Fund, which is the giving is behind what it's been in the last few years. And we need to be praying for that, that that catches up in the last couple of Sundays here now in December. I want to give you just a little snapshot, though, to remind you that life and difficult circumstances is not a new thing. We all know that, but the year is 1864. Here's some of the things that happened in the year 1864. On February 1st, the Danish-Prussian War, 57,000 Austrian and Prussian troops crossed the Elbe River into Denmark to attack the country there. In February 17th, during the American Civil War, the tiny Confederate submarine Hunley torpedoes the USS Housatonic in becoming the first submarine to sink an enemy ship. Didn't go so well for the submarine because it sank as well during that battle and all its crew was killed. On March 9th, Abraham Lincoln appoints Ulysses S. Grant as chief of all the Union Army, and there are 36 major battles and campaigns throughout the rest of the year. On May 25th, the Russian Empire commits the Circassian genocide, and more than 1.5 million people are murdered and killed in that genocide. In June 15th, the Arlington National Cemetery is established when 200 acres of the grounds of Robert E. Lee's home in Arlington are set aside as a military cemetery. On August 22nd, the first Geneva Convention takes place and the International Red Cross is founded. On December 15th and 16th in the American Civil War, there is the Battle of Nashville and Union forces decisively defeat the Confederate Army at Tennessee. On December 25th, Christmas Day of that year, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow composed the words to I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. The carol was originally a poem containing seven stanzas. When Longfellow penned the words to his poem, America was still months away from Lee's surrender to Grant at Appomattox Courthouse on April of 1865, and his poem reflected the prior year's war's despair. The poem gave birth to the carol, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Two of the stanzas, specifically referring to the Civil War, were omitted. Here are the words that were written 150 years ago. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. That was 150 years ago. I was looking at some of the things that happened in the last little while, and here as I looked at some of the news headlines, here's what I came up with. In the South Sudan, it seems that they're headed for an ethnic civil war. China has installed weapons systems in a number of islands, and some islands built just for that purpose in the South China Sea. The president of the Philippines says he has personally killed many criminals by his own hand. The ceasefire in Aleppo collapses and many civilians are in danger. A German ex-cop is accused of murder and cannibalism. 48-hour rail strike paralyzes southern England. A German airliner is forced to divert due to a bomb threat. 38 people are killed in terrorist explosions in Turkey. Controversy continues over Russian hacking of U.S. election. A suicide bomber kills 45 people in Yemen. Now get this one. In the last year, the world has spent on arms and munitions $1.57 trillion. Those are headlines from the last week. Not the last year. The last week. Earlier this year here in Canada, we had the wildfire at Fort McMurray, and as I was refereeing basketball on Wednesday night, the referee, the guy that I was refereeing with, was talking with him, and after 37 years in Fort McMurray, his house was one of those that was completely destroyed. They escaped in one vehicle, their other vehicle was burned, and they've decided to relocate down in the Edmonton area. They're not rebuilding, but they lost everything, and now they're fighting with insurance on just what gets replaced. Last month, south of the border, we had probably the most bizarre presidential election ever, causing great divide amongst many people. On December 25th of 2016, for many, many people, the world is still going to be a very harsh place, a place of great difficulty. And so the songs, the words of that song, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head, there is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. That song from 150 years ago is as true today as it was back then. And what we want to think about this morning is that even though this is the world that we live in, there is hope in the midst of difficulty. There is great hope in the midst of difficulty. At the time when shadows continue to hang over the world, Christmas brings hope. We read the story of Mary and Joseph and the amazing journey that they went on. Not just that journey to Bethlehem, but the journey to get there. And we're reminded of Joseph in love with Mary, wanting to make her his bride and finding out she's pregnant and having a little trouble believing that this happened miraculously and that she hadn't actually been unfaithful to him. And you can understand where he's coming from. But he has the dream, and the angel talks to him, and he believes the word of God. And Mary, who goes through all the things that she goes through, and then they take that journey to Bethlehem, and the babe is born in a manger. All a part of the plan of God. And we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 9, just reading two verses, verses 6 and 7. Very familiar verses to us at this time of year. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. God's word to us this morning. You see, that is the promise to us, that there is hope in the midst of difficulty. The hope is that while the words of this Christmas carol, this old poem, ring true today, there are words of Scripture that are even more true. Words of Scripture that remind us of what it is that we have to hope in, where we can focus our hope, where we can have our faith in our trust. And so we want to take a look at the promises of Christmas. The promises of Christmas. Let's go to the next slide. The first one that we see, and we believe that God is not dead. God is not dead. We have this promise right from the way in which the whole Scripture is written, that the promise is that we have a God who would live forevermore. This is a promise of a God who's going to reign eternally. Of his kingdom there will be no end. God's not dead. We live in a world that where many people try to make the case for God being dead, for there not being such a thing as God. I was reading a little article the other day, and it was, many of you noticed my tie this morning on the 12 days of Christmas. Well, there's an atheist's 11 days of Christmas that's been written, and it's all about the fact of how foolish people are who believe in God and all those kinds of things. But you know, it really doesn't matter what people say or think or write or blog or text or tweet or whatever it is. God's not dead. God's not dead. We serve a risen and a living Savior. And the beauty of it is, as we read through this passage, as we look at some of these names, we see that he is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Too often, even people who do believe in God see him as this distant, impersonal force out there somewhere who's just kind of watching us, and they see him in one of two ways. They see him as kind of this angry old man who's up there just waiting to whap us if we do something wrong. You sin, you get punished, boom, and he's just waiting for us to step out of line. Or they see them as kind of a space-going Santa Claus who's there to act as the vending machine to give us the things that we want. And if we just manipulate the situations in the right way, then God will hand out the goodies. It's not the picture that we have. The picture that we have is a God who is with us, who intimately engages in our world. He intimately engages in our world. He is with us daily, right now, through his Spirit. And he is leading us, guiding us. Every time we pick up this book, it brings joy to his heart, because this is not a word about God. This is the word of God to us. And he uses it to speak to us. He uses it to teach us, to grow us, to challenge us. He is intimately engaged in our world. He knows what's going on. He knows and understands the difficult things that are going on in your life. My wife and I are going to be going to Penticton for Christmas. And we're excited about seeing our kids. But there's a little bit of sorrow there as well, because our son, who was very active in sharing in his faith as a teenager, has just backed off from having anything to do with God. And that hurts, and it hurts deeply to see that happen. And it's hard for me to wrap my head around sometimes as to why does God allow this, but we have to remember that people have free choice, and God is intimately engaged in wooing him back. As we pray for him, he's bringing people and situations into his life to bring him and his family back. I know that. I believe that. I have to live that way. There are people in this congregation I know who are dealing with difficult health matters, with job situations where it's not the job you want, or maybe you don't have a job at all right now. And God knows and understands. He's intimately engaged with you even in the middle of that. One of the interesting pieces of doing transitional ministry is sometimes when I finish one, I know where I'm going next, but sometimes I don't. And sometimes you just quit and you wait. And you wait to see what God has next. And yet, we see that God has always been faithful. You see, God has what we need. God has what we need. It was interesting. I was in the library yesterday dropping something off, and as I walked out, there was a chalkboard there, and there was an interesting sign there. And it says that an attitude of gratitude usually means what we have is enough. And I thought, wow. that really needs to be a part of how we live as believers, that what God has given us is enough for what we need right now. Whether it's enough in the world standards, whether it's what we want, is one thing. But whatever he's given us is enough. It's enough financially. It's enough relationship-wise. It's enough in all kinds of ways if our faith and our trust and our hope is in him. He will continue to work in and through each and every one of those situations. And that's why this Christmas story is so amazing, because it's a story of a God who set aside all the trappings, all the amazing things about divinity, and came to be fully man. Yes, he was divine, but he lived fully as a human being, where he got hungry and he got tired and he got frustrated with his disciples. And he looked at people and realized that where it was obvious they should have faith, they had no faith. And he had to patiently teach and reteach and reteach people who wouldn't learn lessons the first time. See, he knows us and he understands us. And he uses all the circumstances, the good and the difficult, to build us and to grow us. For he is, and here's some of the things that are listed. He is wonderful. He's wonderful. In your prayer time, have you ever thought of God as wonderful, and do you pray to this wonderful God for what he's given? He is counselor, which means he has answers to questions, sometimes questions we don't even know how to ask. Romans chapter 8 reminds us of that. He's counselor. He's there to guide us and to lead us. He's mighty. His strength is beyond what we can imagine. There is no situation that's got him baffled. He is in control of everything. We were down at prayer retreat just a few weeks ago, and our speaker was from an Alliance church in the eastern United States. And it was right during the election happened on the Tuesday of our prayer retreat. And so on Tuesday, as results were starting to come in and people were asking him questions, and Wednesday morning after the election, people were asking him how he felt and what's going on, he goes, "Actually, everything's fine." He says, "I checked with God and he said he wasn't nervous." He says, "I'm pretty sure God's got this. And he's going to use this situation that's going on in the States right now in ways that we can't even imagine." God is in control whether we feel like it or not, because he is mighty. He's also an everlasting Father. He's not in it for the short haul. He's in it for eternity. This isn't just a game with him that one day he's going to get tired. It's not a relationship that's kind of cool for now, but when something interesting, more interesting comes along, he's going to shift over there. We have an everlasting Father. And I know that word is difficult sometimes for people who did not grow up in homes where they had a good father role. But he's Father in the very best sense of the word. And he's everlasting Father. And he is Prince of Peace, which means that as he rules and reigns in our lives, there can be peace in the midst of situations that, from a human standpoint, there's no reason to have peace. We should be frustrated, angry, upset, worried, downcast. And yet there we have the promise of the Prince of Peace, giving us peace in the most difficult circumstances. That's one of the great blessings that I've experienced in my own life, because we've been in circumstances that are very, very difficult in a variety of ways, and yet God has always given us peace. Does that mean we've never worried about anything? No, absolutely not. Because there have been situations where I haven't started looking at it the right way. I've started with the worry and the fret and the care and the frustration and all of those things. But as I began to let God work in my life and speak to me about those times, the peace came, even though it didn't make any sense. God is in control, whether we feel like it or not. The scripture here says that He will establish justice and peace. He will establish justice and peace. The scripture tells us, and as we read through the whole book, this is the story of God to us. And the promise is at the end of the time, there's going to be a time when He says, enough. And He will come again. And justice and peace will be firmly and completely established forever. There will be no more injustice. There will be no more war. There will be no more strife. He will establish His kingdom perfectly. And we have an opportunity to become members of that kingdom right now in this day and age. It says here, His zeal will accomplish it. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. He's excited about this. This is not something that on His list of to-do things is, oh yeah, one of these days, I get to it. Eventually. No, He has a zeal for this. He has a zeal for this. He has a plan that He put in place thousands of years ago, knowing how that plan was going to work out, knowing all the difficulties that would happen, knowing the ways in which He would be rejected and the way in which He would be treated through this whole thing. And yet, He still has a zeal for that. His plan is working out today. That's the thing that gives me hope for the future. I remember as a young pastor, when we were pastoring in Hannah, there was a couple in the church, and they were in their 50s, they had no children, and they had made a deliberate decision not to have children, because they had looked at the world, and this was probably in the 60s, they had looked at the world and said, you know what, this world is just a mess, we don't want to bring children into this world, it's just too terrible a place for them. 50 years later, man, it's gotten so much better, hasn't it? I mean, everything works so smoothly. Everybody gets along and they were right. Things were getting more and more difficult. Even though technology and science and everything was advancing, life in many ways was getting more difficult. And yet, in talking with him one time, that was one of his great regrets, was the fact as they got older, they didn't have family. And he said, we just didn't trust God enough. We didn't trust God to be able to handle that and deal with that. We thought it was something that was on our shoulders, but it was really on His. And so that's where our hope and our faith and our trust needs to be. Our assurance for today and for the future is found in Him. Strange as it seems, just because of the way dates work out, this is the last Sunday service for 2016. The next time we're sitting here on a Sunday morning, it's going to be January 1st, 2017. That's bizarre. It doesn't seem possible that 2016 is almost gone, but it is. But you know what? With all of the stuff going on around the world, and with you folks being in the situation where you're in the midst of a transitional process, where you don't have a permanent senior pastor, God's got some neat things lined up for us for 2017. I believe it with all my heart. And I'm excited to see what He's going to do in this church, in your lives, and in my life. Because one of the neat things about this process is that God works in me differently in each situation. Each situation I step into, I learn something new, and I grow in a new way. I'm looking forward to 2017 and to see what God has for each of us. And the stories we'll be able to share with one another and with the world around us to be able to say, see what our God is doing. This babe who came and was born in a manger also lived for 33 years on this earth and then died on a cross. But that wasn't the end of the story. He rose again. And he lives right now, today. And the scripture tells us that he makes intercession for us. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, for you. Think about that this morning. As you celebrate this birth of this Christ child, this part of the Trinity, this Jesus is praying for you, is loving you. And through his Spirit, he is reaching out to teach you, to love you, to touch your life. That's exciting when we think about it, no matter what else is going on in this world around us. And so as you go through your Christmas celebrations this year, just let me encourage you to celebrate hope. That no matter what is going on in your life or the things that you see around us in this world, let's celebrate hope. Because in King Jesus, we have hope now and for all eternity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful today for your love, for your care, and for your compassion. Lord Jesus, thank you that you were willing to give us the greatest gift that we could ever receive, and that's the gift of yourself. Thank you that you were willing to leave the throne room of heaven to be born in a manger, in a cave, in a hillside, in a stinky, smelly stable. God, that does not make sense from a human standpoint. We are so grateful that you didn't plan this from a human standpoint, but you planned this from a Father's heart, from a love for your creation that surpasses all understanding that we have. Thank you, too, that you worked through the plan of the ages to live among men, to die for our sins, and to rise again to show that sin and death had been defeated. And so, Lord, when we understand that and we understand that this life is a mere stepping stone into eternity, Lord, I pray that our lives would blaze with hope, that people would look at us and shake their heads, wondering why we have joy in the midst of difficult circumstances and why we have an optimism for the future when there are so many things to be pessimistic about. And then, Lord, may we be able to share the story of your love, of your grace, of your mercy, of your willingness to forgive sin and to redeem us and to make us whole. And so this morning, Lord, we just pray that you, through your Holy Spirit, you would remind us of that in all of our celebrations through Christmas this year and give us an anticipation for the new year to see what you are going to do that's new and great in our lives and in our church. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, born as a babe, who lived as a man, who died on the cross, and who is our risen and living Savior. Amen.